Blog Talk Radio.
DivineBodyWash.com. Go check it out. Some great spiritual products, spiritual, all natural. That's DivineBodyWash.com. Also, he's giving that Howdy Ho to our callers and listeners too. Saying if you donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. And if you donate $35 or more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist. So check that out again. That's DivineBodyWash.com. And for our listeners and callers, if you donate $25, he will give you a bottle of body wash. If you donate $35 or more, he will give you also a bottle of body mist. Also, other things too, a nice little shout out to Straight Talk, one of those great phone companies that actually where you can sit there and get some, you can actually cut your phone bill in half. And actually, with my phone back, I had it back down almost 75%. So it's one of those things, get your phone. Yes, of course, you'll probably have to buy the phone, of course, but they also have some good deals, too. If you're just looking for a phone, they have some good phone deals, too, where you can get a free phone, too, as well. But it's only $45 a month for unlimited everything. That is, you know, minutes, texting, and internet. So there, check that out. Now go to www.straighttalk.com. Also, we got the situation. What was that? I was looking at some information here. If I can find it again. And there it is. Oops, I found it. A company called Hemisync. So check them out, too. I was trying to find the information. There. I was actually trying to find the information. Okay, I found it. All right, go to Hemisync CDs. Go check them out on Hemisync. That's www.hemi-sync.com. And if you want to give them a call, you can give them a call at 1-800-541-2488 or call them straight through at 434-263-8692. You can also fax them if you like to as well at 434-263-8699. Again, that's Hemisync CDs. It's a great technology, great for meditation, and they actually have, and it's really good for therapy, I think, too, as well, because I've used them a lot for a lot of things I've been working with chakras and also just the idea of focusing on meditation. So give them a shot. It's like the technology goes like this. There's a tone underneath the music that actually enables both hemispheres of the brain to work together for intense focus and concentration. So don't be surprised if you catch yourself using both your hands, you know, multitasking in a way you never have before. Again, that's Hemisync, www.hemi-sync.com. And numbers again are 1-800-541-2488. Again, that number is 1-800-541-2488. Or call straight through at 434-263-8692. And also, if you want to fax them, just give them a fax at 463-8699. Also, another company we like to sit here and give a nod to is BrainSync. BrainSync is subliminal technology, but it's a whole lot different than it was back in the 70s. It's a whole lot more effective and all went direct to the point. And there's been a lot of work put into these things to actually be more productive, to actually give yourself a way of actually changing your subconscious thinking to actually to produce more positive results. All right, and that company is BrainSync. That's www.brainsync.com. If you want to give them a call, please do so. I've checked them out. And what's so good about both these companies is you can buy the CDs, and some of them even have some DVDs to work with too as well. But you can also download them into your, you know, download them with the MP3 downloads. So check that out too as well. But BrainSync, if you want to give them a call, that's 1-800-444-SYNC. Again, that's 1-800-444-7962. Or call them straight through at 541-488-7870. Again, that number is 541-488-7870. Okay, with the situation, too, I also do private readings, too, as well. We're having some great specials this month, which we've kind of extended our March special. So right now, for a 60-minute reading, you can get that for $33.33. Also, a 40-minute set. Well, actually, right now, it's a 75-minute. If we change those things, too. So now it's a 75-minute session for $33.33, a 45-minute session for $22.22, and a 25-minute session for $11.11. Okay, and then we have the 90-minute sessions, of course. They're going for $77.77. But what's so great about this month, too, as well, is we do parties, we do group readings, we do life coaching, and relationship counseling, one-on-one. We work with children. We do past life regressions. A lot of things take some time, 90-minute sessions. But even with all those things going on, this month, the special goes like this. For $77.77, you can have such a party. We can do a group reading, which is usually 5 or 10 of your friends. But usually it's one of those things where you sit down and work out the details and that kind of stuff. We also got this new technology now with Skype, where we can actually be at your parties, do group readings, we can do conference calls, and we actually can do one-on-one readings, too, through Skype. So if you want to know about the details on those things, please give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835. Or go to my website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And it's one of those things we're trying to put in, implicate the whole thing with Skype, which seems to be working out really well with one-on-one readings. So we're going to try to do some conference calls. And you could, you know, give us a call. For new, you know, right now, with all the new customers who are calling, we're actually giving an additional 10% off on group readings and parties. So give us a call, 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835, or go to the website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Also, with the donations, when you donate, we also have a lady named Debbie who's donating also Max lipstick to the show. So if you want to, for every donation, specify if you'd like to have a stick of this lipstick. But for people who donate $25, we'll give you a stick of lipstick, plus we'll also give you a 20-minute session. If you donate $35 or more, we'll give you two lipsticks and a 40-minute session. So jump in there and get those too. Also, for sponsorship for the show, for a simple fee of $40 a month, you can sponsor the show and get your product and your services advertised on this show. So take that in consideration and give us a call. And for all those, if you want to be a sponsor or donations, that kind of stuff, once you've paid your sponsorship or paid your donation, go to the website, go to the contact page, give us your information after you've made your donation, which is usually on the reading page, and there's a donation button. Okay, also with the situation with donation, don't get us wrong, you can donate anything you like. There's no specification. We're just saying for people who donate over $25 or $35, you know, we like to give back as much as we can. So take in consideration. Thank you very much. Also, let's get back to the show and take a look at the situation. We're doing free readings today, so give us a call here at 646-721-9031. Also, we're going to sit here and pull a card out for you guys of our romance decks. And actually, this deck here, I kind of put it together myself. It's actually the Romance Angels and the Life Purpose cards we put together as one deck. We're going to shuffle them up right now. We're going to pull some cards out here for you. So if you're all out there waiting or trying to debate if you want to give us a call, I know you're out there. So just give us a call in here. You can ask us a question about anything you want. So let's sit here and shuffle the cards and see what happens. And actually, let's hope we don't lose a voice today, huh? Actually, pull the wrong cards. I'm sitting there. Try to sit there and look at the situation like this. Also, there's a book out there called The Soulmate Secret. It seems like everybody's really looking to make a difference in everybody's life. And plus, it seems like a lot of people made a declaration this month and this year to actually have that soulmate and to start working at it. So if you're one of those people who's actually decided to do the work, or even if you're in an existing relationship, the book itself can really help out with that too as well, because sometimes we forget the person that we're with, who they are, and realize that we do have our soulmate. All right, so we're going to shuffle these cards. We're going to pull a card out for the day. We're going to give a shuffle, and then we're going to sit here and pull a card out. And I think we've had some things lately where we had past relationship where it shows the connection that the person you're with and the person you're connected with was actually a past life as well, and even give us some insights on the past lives you and your past lover have actually experienced. So that was interesting. And then the soulmate card came up. I think it was a constant reminder for people to actually realize that if you are in a relationship, to appreciate that woman across the street, across the table in your home, or that kind as that soulmate, and just celebrate. Celebrate's the biggest thing, and celebration is the most important thing too, the idea of celebrating your union every day. So now this card here is actually, the one we pulled out today was light and love. Your purpose to bring, actually it says your purpose, is to bring divine healing light and love to this world. It's one of those things, realize, realistically, seriously guys, for each time that you touch a person's soul, and touch a person's life, it's almost like touching your own, if you touch your own self, and the idea of being able to extend that love out to everyone out there, and to realize that one, just the idea of extending it to one person, that person will extend it to one person, and that person extends it to one person, and so on and so on. So you set off a chain reaction just by unconditionally loving one person. And it usually probably started off with you loving yourself that way, which is the ideal understanding of how important it is to actually do the work, to find time to actually be the best person you can be. And everybody out there who thinks they can't find the time, you're right. But for people out there who think they can, they're right too. So sit and look at the perceptions of everything that you see out there and realize your perception. Maybe you should change it. And by changing the perception, you can also change your life, change your thinking, change your life. All right, that's the card for the day. So let's go over here. We got some people in the queue. I think D's here. Let's see here. Hello, D, how are you?
I could be better.
Okay, well, maybe we can make a difference before the day, before the show's over with. So
I would hope so.
No problem.
Right.
I was going to say, why don't you give everybody out there the information so they can contact you to experience your incredible readings and your jewelry.
Okay. Call me at 207-374-5072. And email me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. Right now, those are the two best ways to contact me, and I will be here at least till Thursday, depending on a miracle. But if you're interested in an email reading, I suggest a donation of $20. A phone reading for an hour would be a suggested donation of $60. I take PayPal, and please contact me. I'll try to get back to you within 24 to 48 hours. We'll work out something with your budget. If you need a reading, and you're saying, oops, just contact me. Financially, my brain is not kicking in just yet. I just had an interesting meeting. But anyway, contact me. And if you're interested in jewelry, like I said before, I do stuff with good stone beads, anywhere from turquoise to amethyst to moss agate, fluorite, freshwater pearls, you name it. And I'm going to be doing some chakra stuff, so if you're interested in something like that, just contact me, and I will make sure that I get you some pictures of things that I've done. I have some jewelry that's already made up that's ready to be sold. So just give me a shout, and we'll work something out here.
Okay, it's incredible. Give down the information, contact her. Like we always say with everybody we work with, we have no problem working with your budget. Just the idea of what is going on, what's up. I always say, make a deal.
Right.
You know, it's like
let's
any
make
situation.
A deal.
We're crossing paths. People cross paths for reasons, and it's the idea of learning and teaching. So therefore, it's the idea of being open to the information that comes to you. It makes a lot of sense. So therefore, it doesn't matter how the avenue have it. It's just the idea of crossing paths and being able to sit there and go, hey, you know something? I only got $15. What do you think? I've never turned anybody down, and I'm pretty sure D's never turned anybody down either.
Never.
That's one of the situations. Yeah, we believe in the work. And it's just the idea that it's just the idea of trying to create some balance in the world too as well. Because if you sit there and look at a lot of things that are going on right now, people are scared to death, and they got to pile up all this freaking money. But, you know, one thing I've learned about this kind of work is the idea of perception of what is success and what is abundance and what is even wealth. Okay? A wealth of knowledge, a wealth of love. You know, those things are, you know, when you start looking at those things, your perception changes and you start thinking about things in a different parameter. But it's amazing that when you get a different perception on these things and looking at it in a spiritual sense, that these things that used to be problems for some reason, no longer are, and the ideal, your wants, needs, and desires seem to be constantly fulfilled. So it's because I think you're fulfilling yourself. And the ideal of self-appreciation is very important to the essential of just the balance of the whole world itself, because a lot of people are not doing that. They're working and working and working and working. I mean, people out there are going, I'm working and sleeping. I'm sleeping and working. And you're just like, okay, and what are you contributing to the world? Because realistically what you're doing is you're contributing to someone else's paycheck. You're contributing to someone else's wealth, and you're making somebody rich because you got to sit there and do the whole thing. And what are you going? I mean, seriously, when we look at the situation realistically, think about this. And look at the people out there who say that a 9-to-5 job is security, and that's how you're going to have a life. And then you watch those people and realize they don't have one. They're enslaved to their job. They're enslaved to their rent. They're enslaved to their landlord. And they have tendency to just, and this is not an insensitive thing to say, that you're enslaved to your family. Because now all you're doing is you're just doing everything for everybody. But you have to find time for yourself. Well, I guarantee you're going to collapse and you're going to fail. When we sit here and look at the idea of nervous breakdowns, a nervous breakdown is a person who's been trying to live up to the expectations of the world and who's finally said, I can't do it, and they have a breakdown. But they always seem to come out of that situation with most people I've got with and worked with, they come out of the situation with a different perception of realizing that they have not been giving to themselves at all. No self-appreciation. It's constantly trying to live up to the expectations of the world. The world will say this, that, and the other. And you don't think it's true? Look at the idea of all the diseases, all the conditions that we have out there, because everybody's trying to keep up with somebody. Nobody's sitting there focusing on themselves. Then they sit there and go and look at a person who is really spiritual. And I mean go and find somebody else who's spiritual. Because I've also noticed within the spiritual community, too, of people who say they're spiritual. Also, I've been experiencing the same things, where they're sitting there enslaved to their freaking careers, their jobs, their shops, and they're killing themselves. And it's like there needs to be a balance within there where they did the same thing. They forgot to give that time to themselves. You know, you can't be good for anybody else until you're good for yourself. So therefore, the self has to come in there. You can't take it out. You just can't. And I've seen a lot of people, with some of the things I've seen lately, where you're talking to spiritual people. I just went to a freaking shop up here, and these people told me, you can't put your business cards in here because it's a competition for the psychics we have here. Now, let's sit there and put it really straight out for you. The next time I hear the word competition out of a spiritual person's mouth, I'm going to say, what's on my mind? And say, you're not spiritual. Because if you were spiritual, you would understand one thing. There is no such thing as competition. We're all here on this planet for a reason. We all have a purpose. We can't go out there and teach people about what life purpose means. If we're going to sit there and feed into the competitional word, that's ridiculous. You can't sit there and say, this person took a client from me. That what happens is you have a position in this world. If you're doing this kind of work, you're a light worker, you're going to have people gravitate to you that you're supposed to work with. And if you don't work with those people and they work with somebody else, because that's the way it was destined to happen. Everything happens for a reason on this planet, and even in this universe. And we have dominion over everything that we do in our lives. So the ideal, if you're sitting there feeding into competition, then you're feeding into fear. And you're allowing that fear to think that people are taking stuff from you. What we just say? Taking things from you? Are you feeding into lack and limitation? You spiritual person, you. So this be what we are. Let's be true to ourselves. And let's sit there and say and teach. Don't sit there and say, do as I say. Okay? Do as I do. Let's be an example to the world and show everybody, like, there is no such thing as competition. There is no such thing as lack and limitation. Sure, you're going to read in the news, and you're going to see all these other things too, but I guarantee you what you're going to find is you're going to find that those people also feed into lack and limitation, so they keep creating the same thing. So we can sit there and feel sorry for them, or we can sit there and do like we've always heard before, you know, give a man a fish, feed him for the day, teach him how to fish, Feeding for Life. So let's start teaching people how to do that, how to create a life, okay? So, Dee, what do you think?
Oh, I'll agree with what you just said. The rest of it, I don't know what you said because I had to take another phone call briefly, and then I realized you were talking, so I figured we weren't reading for somebody, and I had a moment. So,
okay,
yeah,
no problem.
Sorry about, you know, with everything that's going on, pardon me, I'm doing my best here.
Yeah. I'm just saying with the situation and everything going on, it's kind of crazy to hear somebody who wants to sit there and tell you they're a spiritual being, which I believe everybody's is spiritual, and we're actually spirits, you know, spiritual beings in a human body, and the human body is our transportation, so therefore we should get our, you know, it's amazing how people have a tendency to really work on their cars, make sure the car is running great, get that muscle car in the freaking garage, but the person's own body is falling apart, you know. And so it's one of those things of realizing that, we were talking about that the other day too, about going over things, about criticism and how to be your best that you can be, which also has to do with also body maintenance, keeping yourself in shape as well. And if it's only 20 or 30 minutes a day of going outside and taking a nice brisk walking, and it's also good to take a walk and meditate too as well. I see Mark's in the queue too, so I'm going to get to him in a second. But I just wanted to make, you know, I just wanted to sit there and say that because I just saw that. I was down talking to some people in the shop, and it was just amazing to hear somebody say the word competition. You know, this will be competition for our readers. And I'm sitting there going, here you are walking around barefooted, and you're sitting there saying you're spiritual. I'm not saying you're not. But, the people think there's a fine line between business and what you want. And it's like, okay, I got this great shop, but I'm going to have to do something to actually make money to keep it going. I think we're feeding too much into the money part, and I'm not realizing that the more we really love what we do and really give that to everyone and everything, that will be the one thing that will attract everything to us, even money. And it's just the idea of just do the service and don't focus on anything else. I mean, it was one of the things that came this morning where we're sitting there focusing on the whole thing and say, okay, what could be the common denominator that could be creating blocks in your life to actually have that prosperity of money coming into your life? What is it? And it could be the idea that when you do this kind of work, just do it. And realize that when you focus on service, the money will follow. It's just the idea that you have to allow to happen. Also, open up to the whole situation. And it's one of the things, and like I said before, I'm not really getting and knocking on people who want to use the word donation and get donations. But I'm saying that with the situation that what we do, there is worth. And it's service, and we give ourselves 100%. And in order to give ourselves 100%, we would have to be compensated for what we're doing to keep doing and giving that 100%. And that's all we're saying. Okay, so you put that out there, and you leave it alone, and then you just throw yourself into the service, and you should be fine. I mean, I've noticed that myself, that when we just do it and just sit there and get on the phones and working with people and that kind of stuff, it seems like it's amazing how things just light up like a Christmas tree and everything seems to fall into place. And that one thing is I really believe that the reason certain things have a tendency to fall apart is because we feed into the fear of it. Or there's some kind of fear that goes along with it when we allow ourselves to be pulled into it. So we just got to keep ourselves straight and keep our focus on our perceptions and the outcome that we see. And also take it one step further and live it and feel it. So therefore, I guarantee you will. Let's see, Mark's in the queue. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Namaste. Love, light, and blessings. And how are the both of you doing today?
Hey, don't ask.
How are you doing, happy, Mark? It's a fantastic day.
I'm just looking for, as we all are looking for the full manifestation for what is to come here in 2012, which I think we're all looking for. We definitely see, if you pay attention to what's going on via the internet and reputable sources, there are major changes going on politically as well as financial markets are moving forward into the new paradigm. It's just not quite there yet, but it is definitely moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys, but my focus has been a lot on the sky right now. I was sitting watching Jupiter, and I think it's Jupiter and Venus, and then this thing with Mercury, and trying to look at it in a different way of looking at the situation of, is there some way else to put up with this thing? Because I've had, there's so many perceptions on everything out there. It's amazing, like when I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine who gave me the definition of, she was looking for her soulmate, and she described a soulmate like another person the other day described a twin flame. And I was like, okay, and that was different. So it was kind of different, but it does seem like that perception of trying to point it in the right direction, of trying to get them all in the same place, might make a difference too in the idea of a more positive outcome of the situation that's going on across the planet.
Right.
I'm just saying, I was looking at the stars, and we were sitting talking the other day, we were talking about, you know, the Bible. Sometimes it's amazing how the Bible gets interpreted and misinterpreted, where we have, like with within society right now, if you ask somebody about when Jesus was born, and you ask him how many wise men showed up, and they'll say three. And I've done the research over and over again, and read all kinds of contexts, and I've never seen the number three anywhere in the Bible. Where it does say plural, it says wise men showed up. And I think people have, but their perception is they go to the latter part. You know, they look at the gifts and say, well, three gifts. And I guess it was three wise men. And when they were talking about the gold itself, to me, there might have been actually four wise men, because gold can be pretty heavy. But it's just, there has to be a foundation out there, a common denominator where everybody can get on the same page. Wouldn't you agree, Mark?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Most definitely. I mean, I think no matter what, it's the conscious ascension experience is on all levels of our being, because we are all truly whole. It's just that simply here in this third dimensional physical form, we've forgotten so much of our true nature, of our soul, and who we truly are, and how we are connected to all that is, and how we can use that conscious connection to conscious ascension experience to truly manifest and create that which we choose to create. But it's also a lot of it is understanding that there is a duality where we are working on moving beyond that, which we are doing, and moving into a new experience, something new, something different, which many people are kind of unsure and afraid to do.
Yeah, everybody's focused on one thing, it's money. It's like they think money's going to save them, and money's not going to. I mean, I was sitting here looking at my journal, and I have this book that I always recommend to people. It's called The Abundance Book. It's by a guy named John Randolph Price. And the book is basically, there's a system he has in it. It's called the 40-Day Prosperity Plan. And basically what it is to announce, to realize that money is not your supply, it's not your support, not your substance. It's the idea of tracing it back to the source, to realizing what is. And what the source is people call it spirit, God. I call it God. So when you start to look at the situation, to me it makes a difference, okay? When you start realizing what the source is, you start realizing your boss and everybody, even clients and money and all these other things, they're not supporting you. It's you supporting yourself. And when everybody starts realizing that they have that strong self within themselves, then they'll start seeing everything change, not just within themselves, but within the world itself. Because mass consciousness right now, if we look at the economy, if we could get rid of these economists, we might have a chance of getting out of this thing a whole lot quicker, because they keep reinforcing one thing, which is called fear. They keep saying, well, the economy is just not really, not yet. It's getting better, but we got to do this. We got to do this. And it's one of those things of realizing that there wouldn't be no economy if it wasn't for people. So if there wasn't people, there'd be no economy. So but if we put it on a different term that we hear in spiritual context, it's called mass consciousness. And with mass consciousness, I've seen this myself, when you see one person who realizes the truth, you see a shift in mass consciousness toward the positive and more of a balance. And when you sit there and see people feeding into the economist, and you see a shift, and everything starts getting a little bit unbalanced, and people start worrying, and they start focusing on the fear. So there's definitely a difference,
but it's also
focused on the individual, because everything an individual does goes into mass consciousness, into the world, and affects it as a whole. Wouldn't you agree, Martin?
Yes, most definitely, most definitely. Now, one thing which I think, which I'm experiencing, which I think is very common, is that many of us are in challenging relationships and with others that are not necessarily awakened or aware.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that their ties with them are from past lifetimes, past karma or what have you.
Right.
And sometimes something which I'm still working on figuring out, which I'm so close to this, which I probably don't see it, is how there can be the connection with them could be on different levels of what, who and what we are. We've done our part, but there might be like very specific pieces of that karmic connection, whether it be us as a walk-in, us as a blended, or as the soul that was born into the embodiment, which is not necessarily present at the present moment. You know, there's so many different possibilities within one's experience. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So trying to figure out exactly what my situation is so that I can move forward with that clarity of understanding of whatever pieces that I might be not seeing or missing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Since April's not here, I got to the chat room too. So I was like,
April's not here? Oh, well.
No, she's working. She's at Smoothie King. Actually, the Smoothie King is, if you're in Raleigh, North Carolina, you should pop in there from time to time. They got some great health drinks. I should get paid for this. Good advertising for everybody. But, you know, it's like, it seems to go a lot smoother because April's like, she'll be watching the chat room, and when we start talking about certain topics, she'll start finding YouTube and links and stuff, start putting in the chat room. So we try to be informative as possible. But somebody was asking if they should call in. I said, yes, please call in. But what I was going to go over was they have this in the book called Abundance, the Abundance Book by John Randolph Price. It's got this, the first thing, you know, it talks about the statements, and actually this 40-day prosperity plan. It talks about denouncing certain things and realizing what's really important. And this thing goes, basically how it goes is that you have this statement where you denounce it and you say, hey, this is what's up. And it starts off like this. It says, this day, put the date in there, which is April 2nd, 2012. I cease believing invisible money as my supply and my support, and I view the world of effect as it truly is. Simply an outpicturing of my former beliefs. I believed in the power of money, therefore I surrendered my God-given power and authority to an objectified belief. I believed in the possibility of lack, thus causing a separation in consciousness from the source of my supply. I believed in the mortal man and carnal conditions, and through this faith gave man and conditions power over me. I believed in the mortal illusion created by the collective consciousness of Erathos, and in doing so, I limited the unlimited. No more. This day I renounce my so-called humanhood and claim my divine inheritance as a being of God. This day I acknowledge God and only God is my substance, my supply, and my support. And I was sitting looking at the first part of this thing where it says, this day I cease believing invisible money as my supply and my support and view the world of effect as it truly is. Simply an outpicture of my former beliefs. So it's basically what it's saying right now in that situation, just in that one statement, that what's happening today is how you used to think yesterday. So if you want to change tomorrow, you have to change your perception and your thinking to create that difference. So therefore, you'll be living a different today. And I was like, amazing when, it's amazing when you sit down and you work with people and how persistent they are to hang on to the worldly way. That they're not, they're sitting there going, well, I need to work a job. And then they, and I ask them, I said, okay, what do you think you need to do to work that job? And they have a tendency to just throw them into any kind of job that comes along. And then they wonder how come their lives are in disarray when they just haven't really said exactly what they wanted and never really affirmed it. They'll sit there and tell you they have. I affirmed I want a job. We had an argument with a lady on the show one night where she was sitting there, we were talking about abundance. And I said, she was telling me, abundance cannot be obtained until you have a job. And I was like, I said, it's amazing that her definition of abundance was strictly stuck on money. So therefore, abundance of anything else cannot enter her life because she had basically shut those doors and only allowed one door to be open. And even that door, she wouldn't open it completely because she felt like in order to have abundance, she needed to have a job. And she didn't realize the idea of attracting any kind of abundance in your life is the ideal of abundantly loving yourself. And it was, but she was so determined that, she was right, we were wrong. And even though her life reflected what she was saying, that she was so close to it, she couldn't even see it. And she didn't make the proper step, I think, to step out and ask somebody, but she still wasn't open enough to actually take that advice and then take a look at her own life and say, well, maybe there's something to this. And that's one thing I always ask everybody to do. You can sit there and question it, and you have your own opinions, your own perceptions, of course. All I'm saying is take a step back and look at your life and say, okay, it's not working. And here's someone who just gave me some advice. I should at least take in consideration because I know for a fact that what I'm doing is not producing good results, so therefore, give it a shot. I've had so many times where I've worked with people, even as a personal trainer.
Mm.
Years ago, when the gyms all started really kicking into gear, there was a couple companies out there that were actually producing machinery, and they put this little plaque on how to do the exercise that was actually wrong. Okay, so this is a pure example of people on how they just instinctively just follow authority. Okay, the plaque says do it this way, mm-hmm. So the plaque has to be right. Okay? It's not the ideal that we need to get back to listening to ourselves, our guidance, and a connection that we have with God to realize that we can perceive and see the truth about everything. Everything. And sometimes we're going to be shocked about what's really going on, what people are trying to project to us that is off the mark. And I was sitting there talking to this guy, and he came up to me and said, there's a vertical bench press, I'm just not getting anything out of it. And so I sat there and said, okay, show me how you do it. And so he showed me how he did it, and he was doing it wrong. And when you do a bench press, you actually push off your shoulder blades, and everything has to be aligned, or you're going to damage your elbows and get tendonitis, and also the situations of tendons and things like that too as well. Okay, so I was trying to tell him how to do it right, and he said, well, the machine says right here how to do it, and that's how I've been doing it. I looked down, and sure enough, the plaque said to have your elbows down and to basically push off your chest, not push off your shoulder blades, which is going to be it's going to hurt you sooner or later, right? So I looked at the guy and said, okay, I'll give you this. The plaque does say do this, but let's be honest with ourselves. You're doing it that way, and you're not getting any results. So why don't you try it my way? If it doesn't work, then go back to doing what you want to do, okay? But I said, just give my technique a try, because I guarantee you, I'm trying to show you how to do it right. See, it's almost like people come to us for advice. That's exactly what we're doing. Advice can be given in any kind of sector, personal trainer, even the lady at the counter, when you're getting a smoothie. It could be somebody that crosses your path, that gives you information. And we should also take all these encounters into consideration of why they're even happening. And that guy came back 20 minutes later and said, thank you so much. because what you told me worked. And it made a difference in my life. And that's the same thing with light workers and what we're trying to do here in the situation. And I just want to make sure all the light workers are on the same page, too, as well. I'm not feeding into the world away. Because I found out this, too, with manifestation, Martin, that people are trying to manifest according to what the world says they need, want, desire, not by what they do. And it's I think a lot of people are not producing good results because of they need to get a different they need to take a look at themselves and say, okay, what are you doing? Are you manifesting that you have to have 6 cars in your driveway because that's what the world says? Or is that what you really want? Because Jay Leno, he has tons of cars in his garage because he wants those cars. He loves cars. See, that's the difference. He loves those things. And see what happens? Jay Leno has a freaking garage, a freaking house full of cars because that's what he loves to do. Okay? He also loves his work. He loves what he does. And see how he prospers. We can't get mad at people because they got money. We got to look at their situations and examine why do they have those things. And you'll start noticing one thing, that they just really just throw themselves into what they love to do, and they produce great results because that's what they want, not what the world says. Okay, so we have a caller in the queue. And she said that I was kind of curious, too, because she said that she had a question to ask, and she said it was kind of an odd question. So I don't think she understands it. You know, we've all been doing this work for a long time, and we've probably heard it all. And if we didn't, we will. Okay, so let's see who she is. Do it one more time. All right, there we go.
Hello?
Hello, how are you? Erica 402.
Hi. My name is Ashley, and I'm from Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha.
Yes.
Isn't that where Oral Roberts is from?
No.
I don't
Tulsa,
know.
Oklahoma.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead. What did you say your name was?
Ashley.
Ashley?
Yeah. My odd question for you is, maybe it's just because I'm impatient. I am pregnant, and my due date is the 14th of April, and I just wanted to know if he's going to come anytime soon before the 14th.
My impression is no.
My impression. Are you going to have a C-section?
No. My doctor was thinking about inducing me on the 9th. If he hasn't came by next Monday, if he hasn't came by then.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just like feel so ready. Like I'm already dilated, you know, pretty good, and I just feel like been forever because I found out I was pregnant ever since I was 3 weeks. It just feels so long.
So how old are you?
Me? I'm 24.
You're 24 and impatient.
Yeah.
Impatience is, I hate to say this, but it seems like impatience is what got you in this situation in the first place.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's just one of the things. Of examples of saying, hey, you know, I'm impatient. So here's another example, too, because, you know, it's one that you say, so is the doctor still going to introduce labor on the 9th, or has he changed his mind?
Well,
when you
I think
look
that's
at
the plan. That's the plan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the plan. I just talked to him this morning. But I just feel like I know the 9th is a week away from today, but I just don't know if I could wait that long.
Well, in the situation you're in, I don't think you have a choice.
Right.
Anyway.
You're going to have to wait.
Now, the
I'm
one thing.
You're going to have to wait.
Yeah, but have you been doing a lot of walking?
Yes, I've been doing a lot of walking.
Okay.
Yes,
because
I'm dilated to 3.5, and I'm basically ready to go almost 100% thinned out. I just feel like maybe he's not ready to come out, or I just don't know.
I think you're right there. He's not ready.
Because
I walk every day.
He's stubborn.
Okay. Yeah, so...
He's an Aries. He's a ram.
Yeah.
He'll come when he's ready.
Yeah, but he's also And I think he's going to have a little bit of Taurus in him too, because he seems to be rammed, tempered, hot-headed. I think you're going to have a kid at 2 years old who's going to be screaming his head off and just biting the kids around him. So, you know, that's what I keep getting anyway. And it's one of those things where it's like, I guess we sit and look at the situation. People talk about signs and stuff. Well, the signs of a ram, I would definitely start discipline very soon with that kid, if not every freaking day, I'm making sure that kid, because discipline seems to be very important with this one.
Okay.
How come I don't feel like, let me ask you a question, how come I don't feel like there's anybody holding your hand through all this?
There's really, the only person that's there for me is the father, because this is my fifth baby, and it's the father of my kids, and my personal family, I don't have a close connection to them, so it's just basically me and him going through it.
So your family, they have a problem with your husband?
They don't have a problem with him, it's just I was in and out of foster homes since I was 12, and I've just never really connected with my family.
Okay, well then there seems to be somebody around you that you have a tendency to consider as family, who has a problem with him.
Who has a problem with him? Maybe that might be my sister. I talk to her sometimes. I didn't know she has a problem with him.
Well, anyway, with the situation and stuff, he's actually with you through this whole thing then, huh?
Yeah.
Unless you, did you say, well, I'm going to say this again. Did you say this is your fifth child?
Yes, this is my fifth baby. Yes. And he took in, I had three children. And I was married, and my husband, he was illegal, and he was deported to Mexico. So my kids, my other three kids, really haven't seen him, their real father. And the guy that I'm with right now accepted my other three kids as his kids. And so that's all his kids, because my oldest three will never be able to see their father. So he's been there with me through a lot.
Is he in the same ethnic background as your first husband?
He's Cuban. My first husband was Mexican. He's Cuban. He's legal here.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I was just wondering because I felt like he was. I guess what's one of the things you see visions of people, and you're just, you know, sometimes when you see visions of people, they have a tendency to. See, the picture gives you a difference of who they really, doesn't really tell you who they are. It's just a picture and an image. So I was just kind of telling myself, you know, okay. Kind of looks the same.
No, it's not the same. He's the, my current boyfriend, me and him haven't gotten married yet, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's legal here. But
the one thing that you said is talking about, the oldest children will never see their father, and why is that? Where did you come up with that determination, that assessment, I guess you would say?
He has remarried in Mexico, and his wife, he's upset with me because even though he was denied his visa the first time, he still wanted to just have me help him get his papers, and I didn't feel comfortable doing that it's not because we were married or we're in love, it's just because he wanted his papers. So I said no, and he told me he doesn't want anything to do with his kids, and he already has other kids in Mexico. So it's not really my decision whether my kids will see him, I guess. As far as right now, there's nothing I can do because I don't even have a phone number to contact him.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is, it's like what we were talking about before at the beginning of the show, of things happening, people cross paths, things just happen because it's what they're supposed to happen. And I was looking, I was sitting focusing on the situation, and you're sitting there saying he will never see the, you know, they will never see each other, and that kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't see that. And, you know, it's one thing we have to understand with life itself. I mean, kids have a tendency to get curious. People cross paths. The universe aligns itself up for soulmates to meet. Okay, so the idea of certain things happening. I mean, that's what I saw with this situation as well, where it was like, okay, the more you kept on talking, I was like, okay, she's pretty much determined this because of the circumstances in a worldly way, and I just feel like something's going to happen, you know, later in life here that these people are going to cross paths. Yes, we have a lot of anger and that kind of stuff, but those are the ones that usually have a tendency to do that because, you know, when you put a thought out there, it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to see these kids. I don't want to see these kids. And guess what? The universe is still going to sit there and listen to that thing and go, he said he didn't want to see his kids, but he's focused on kids. Guess what happens? It happens anyway. So I'm just saying, don't be surprised, you know, as these kids get older, almost like in their teens, that they don't see this guy or something happens where, you know, he seemed like he was pretty determined there for a live in the States. So,
yeah. And I mean, that would be great because they know that my oldest son, he's almost 8. He's able to understand. He knows what's going on. He knows. And if that happens, I think that would be really wonderful because I would love for them to know their biological father.
Mm-hmm.
They will. I agree with Donnie. They're gonna at a later point in their life, maybe teenage years or somewhere in there, they will connect with their father again.
Well, that's good.
I think he's going to drop his anger at some point. He's going to start seeing things a little bit differently.
I hope so. Because it's
I think there's a lot of hurt for him. The hurt, the anger, I think a lot of it isn't. It's more focused on the fact that he got deported more than you're saying, no, I won't help you with your paperwork. I think he's more upset at the fact that he got booted out of the country, and that's where his real anger lies, I think. And he's taking it out on everybody around him as opposed to, you know, doing something about it.
Yeah.
Yes. And when you look at it, you know, to me, when you look at his attitude and way things happen, it's not surprising, the outcome, you know, being denied is because he denied himself. So the situation is where he's at now. And it's anger. I think it was like you said before, it's resentment. You know, a lot of resentment there. So once he realizes that, you just feel like he's going to come to a conclusion and say, okay, the reason things happened the way it was because of my attitude. And then things will be different. But until it happens, you know, and with the situation with you, I mean, you're pregnant and everything else is going on, and you get this really strong impression with you that you're a very gifted woman too, and that you haven't really you've never really pursued your pursuits.
I don't even know what that would be.
What's that?
As far as gifted, like I'm in school I'm gonna be graduating in 2 years to be like a CPS worker, but as far as gifted, I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that.
A CPS worker. What is a CPS worker? That's one thing I hate about the States, man. Everything's abbreviated. I'm like, okay.
A child protective. And I'll be a social worker, like work for the state.
Child Protective Services,
yeah.
CPS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, when I sit here and talk about gifts and talents, it's the idea of pursuing everything and anything within yourself that you need to pursue. A lot of people are asking the question, you know, what do you mean by gifts and talents? Everybody's gifted and talented to do something, even if they only do it, you know, like every once in a while. And so it's one of those things that I've noticed a lot of people who ask the question have this prompting within themselves to go and explore a lot of other different things besides what they're doing. Right now, a lot of people are gravitated toward one thing, it seems like. And the reason I say that is because my ex-girlfriend was like that, where it was like, I want to become a nurse, or I want to do this and this. And the very first thing that comes out of her mouth is, because I can make $75,000. And when I say talents, it's amazing how when a person really does what they're really gifted to do, that the thing that they had before, their focus on money doesn't happen as much. It's just like it's diverted to realizing that they're here to make a difference in the world itself in the process of doing that, they'll be compensated accordingly. So, you know.
See, I agree with you. Okay, well, the reason why I'm in college for what I want to do is because I did have problems, you know, in and out of group homes, foster homes growing up, and I feel like I could help other kids. And I agree with you when I think a lot of people that, like, doctors and people like that, I feel like sometimes it's only about the check. They don't really focus or care about what's going on.
The human aspect got taken out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's like, it's just kind of crazy because we're looking at a lot of imbalances in our world, but everybody's trying to make it sound like it's okay. And when I said, like, for example, when I was sitting talking about your talents, it's the idea, okay, you're going in the right direction. I'm not going to say you're not. I'm not going to say, okay, give up this pursuit. No, what I'm saying is this pursuit has so many avenues to it. And the process of what you can create yourself is the idea of creating your own group home with your own expectations and what you think that should be all about to actually help people and actually be able to really detail on an individual basis of helping people. That's the thing. Children's service is good, but he really can't get that with me because I just had too many bad experiences with him where it's just, you know, constant pursuing and saying, okay, something's up here when there was never anything up there. And then the people that I've seen that needed the care didn't get it, and a child got killed. So, you know, we're sitting there saying,
no.
Yeah, no.
That's what I agree with.
Yeah.
I agree with that, too. I agree sometimes, like, CPS workers go after the wrong people when they should be focused on, you know, maybe some parents down the street that really do abuse their kids.
But maintain the impartialness. I mean, shoot, I have seen so many women, and I have to say this because I've never seen a man social worker. So all I can do is give you examples about women. But and it seemed like the men, I'll sit there and say we had one man social worker about years ago, and he used to go beyond, you know, way beyond helping people that he was working with. But then we found out later on there was some compensation going on that we don't want to get into. But if that situation's emotions and being impartial was not part of it either. And some families suffer because of it. But we had one lady pursue us for a long time with this ex-fiance I had. And it was kind of funny that as soon as we moved to another city, they would come knock at the door because of previous encounters with child services. That was actually proven that nothing was, you know, it was like beyond a shadow of doubt. There was no abuse. There was nothing going on. But still, they come knocking at the freaking door because of a report. And even the report said, you know, case closed, the whole thing's done, everything's done. So it was amazing how they just, that's an easy one. Let's go check this one out. When there was a person we knew for a fact, I guess it was the one that threw me off the most was when that kid was found in the freaking closet. Because, you know, child services have been there 3 or 4 times and had threatened to do a lot of things, but never had followed through. And the kid was taped, gagged, bound, fell into a chest, and thrown in the freaking, into the closet because they couldn't find a babysitter. You know, and what was so funny about it, child services knew this. It was the same thing. It's amazing when you start looking at our government, who keeps saying responsibility, 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 and see the lack of. It's like, we're not going to do nothing. And as soon as something happens, then we go overboard and we go way beyond compensation, which, if they want to go that route, causes taxpayers even twice as much money for something that will probably never happen again. It's like 9/11. 9/11 could have been averted way before it ever happened. And there's a conspiracy, or if there was a conspiracy. I'm just saying what the idea of getting reports and people and even watching the whole layout of the whole thing. There were so many red flags that nobody pursued on. And then when people did try to pursue on it, they were told to leave alone. So, you know, and then we just had this shooting in Ohio, and now they have the metal detectors in their schools, which is going to, so you look at the situations of why schools are going in debt, because they don't do anything before the fact, and then they do all this craziness afterwards, and they'll justify it. They'll say, okay, we got metal detectors in our schools, so this will never happen again. No, it will never happen again because it won't happen again because it was an incident that should have been caught before it happened. But it was, but, you know, it's hard. We have every day someone walking into schools and shooting, and then even in D.C. and all these other places, you don't have shootings coming in and shooting every day. You have violence and you have all kind of craziness, but those are the schools that need the detectors, okay? But the country schools, it's just, I think it's just, I hate to say this, but it's people who make metal detectors trying to make money. And every time you look at these situations, why things don't happen, and then when they do happen, it's because someone's getting paid. And it's not because it needs to be done. And I think it's the biggest problem about a lot of things that are going on, where we need to sit down and look at situations and go, okay, what's the best way to, what's the best in the best interest of the people? Not what's going to make us feel fuzzy and warm inside. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the thing. Take it one step further. And when we're starting to talk about service, you look at people who really throw themselves into their service, they're happy people. I don't care what they do. It's the people who are just working to be working who are miserable, because that's what they're doing. They're just working a job to be, to have a job, to make money. And in the process of the whole thing is, I'd rather have somebody in a position who loves what they do, because they're going to do a better job than the person who's just there to make a paycheck.
Yep. I do agree.
So, I'm pretty sure she's like, I called and asked a question, didn't think this was going to happen. But,
well, no, I'm glad that somebody actually agrees with me, because I do feel like a lot of people out there just work for paychecks and they could care less about, like, it's just a job just to get paid.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Then you have to look at the situation, too, and say, okay, how would you know? Well, first of all, I used to work for warehouses and other jobs, and I used to sit there and, you know, and I remember working those jobs, and I didn't like them. And I remember working in this warehouse where we would find a place in the back of the warehouse and take a nap. And you know, it's one of those things. I threw myself into work, and I work. But it was just one of those things that to see a pattern within those companies. And then some of these things are going on. And you're wondering how this productivity is even getting anywhere when you see some of the things that are going on. But also with the situation, what I mean is I was in a position I didn't like. And it seems like once you change things and start really doing what you really love to do, and you start seeing things in a different way too, you can actually make a change in all those other areas too that you were in before, because you've got the insights. And that's what I'm saying. So we live these things and we see them for what they are. And that's what I'm saying. Everything happens for a reason. So I feel like, you know, you could ask yourself, okay, why did I work all those crazy jobs when I was younger? Why did those crazy things happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get to a point later on in your life and you start looking back on those things, and they were just giving you insights to things that you learned. So now you can see them from a different perception. So therefore, now you can bring it to someone else's attention. Will it change? That's up to them. But you do see the situations, and you want to change them because of where you've been, what you've seen, and what's going on. Maybe you didn't do a good job then. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But the point is, now you see it differently, where you want to make a difference in the world. And right, it seems right now it's the most important time to actually see those perceptions, to change things, so things can be a whole lot better. Because it's amazing. I was watching the History Channel, the Discovery Channel, and I swear that one week it was nothing but Armageddon. I'm like, oh, do you guys want Armageddon? Because, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I read the Bible, and there's a lot of things in there it talks about. And even Nostradamus said this himself, too, that with when we change our perceptions, we change the future. So when you sit and think about that, in the Bible, it says this is what's going to happen. But if you really read the Bible real closely, what you're seeing is, it says the consequences of humanity started with Adam and Eve. The consequences of your actions is to do something, okay? Because we're going to this a lot of times too. We're going, just get relationships back the way Adam and Eve were in the beginning. It's just the two of them, okay? That's why you see the emphasis on them too. And I also, we're sitting here talking about, people are sitting here talking about sex is bad, and, you know, or in certain contexts, I'm sitting here going, people, it's almost like you guys read some of it, but you don't read all of it. You read the part about Adam and Eve when they got basically left the garden, tossed out, left out, exiled, whatever you want to call it. I personally think that they felt so guilty about what they'd done, they left on their own. But what I was trying to say was, it's like, you look at the situation, okay? A lot of things happened. But it's also seeing the consequences of our actions. Well, with the consequences of our actions, we can also change direction and change the whole format of everything. So the idea of the outcome could be different. And actually, if you sit in front, we've also reading this too, where if you look at the word Armageddon, that's actually a place in the Middle East. And that's where they, and that's basically what they say, the war between good and evil is going to happen. Armageddon. Okay, and so people think of Armageddon and the end of the world, they're actually two different things. The destruction of the world itself is caused by man and its consequences of his actions if he doesn't change in the direction he's going in. And right now, everybody thinks they have to have a bomb. Okay? I have a bomb. It's called my girlfriend. She's a bomb, okay? But but we've got to look at the situation and look at these things more positively. Because right now, with Korea's trying to go nuclear, Iraq, Iran? I don't know which one. But, you know, it's amazing that these people are not thinking on the terms of, I saw this, and this might sound crazy, this quote actually came from a movie, but it makes perfect sense. That people don't think, they get caught up in the whole idea of wanting to do something, so they never ask themselves, should they? You know, just because you can create a bomb, should you? Because in the process of these assumptions and these obsessions, one can actually take oneself out. So, you know, it's a situation of, thing, you know, just looking at this kind of thing. With even on a smaller scale, people have a tendency to, they should be asking the same question to themselves. You know, just because I can, should I? You know, when we have these child abuse cases and stuff, it was, you know, every one of those cases, you can trace it back to a point where the guy or the woman, whoever caused the abuse, had a choice.
Yeah.
They could walk away, or they could abuse their child, or act out in anger. And they chose the latter, and now they're dealing with the consequences, you know. But if we could actually address both sides of the situation, of looking at both people as, you know, they can all be traced back to fears and insecurities, and working with both. You know, you got the child going to be working with some things, yeah. But the person abused that child too should also be worked with too as well. Because they can all be traced back to certain things. Does it excuse it? No. But it also, to me, it's more of a solution. So therefore it won't happen again. Because one thing it brought to my attention was I was talking to my ex-girlfriend and her mother, and they used to have this book on abusive men, and it says 97% of abusive men can't change. And I said, you know something? If we took our perceptions on the 3% and turned the 3% into the 97%, then that statement would change. But everybody's perception right now, especially when it comes to certain women, they want to sit there and look for somebody to blame. Now, we've also looked at both sides of the situation on abusive women and the situation with men, and we start realizing that everybody's focusing on abusive men. But also, in the situation of counseling and stuff, people are not taking consideration what those women are going to do later on, too. And they've also become abusers. So you see, when you address the root of the problem, you stop anything from happening. But everybody's detailing and focusing on the men part, that the women are falling through the cracks. I'm saying, okay, she's not being abused anymore, so she's okay. Well, she's not okay because she still has scars and she still has emotional hang-ups that she's still carrying with her. How do I know this? And I experienced it one-on-one with my ex-fiance. She was abused by several women and certain things going on, and one day she just reared up and started beating the hell out of me. So, you know, it's one of those things when you look at the situation where you get angry with her or get mad or put her in jail or whatever. But the solution is there should have been counseling for this woman way before then.
Mm-hmm.
Or some kind of situation where they sit down and would have dealt with what she was going through. But they felt like something took the threat away, which is a man. Then there was no threat. There was nothing else to deal with. And they kind of missed the whole thing, you know. Just put the guy, and plus putting the guy in jail, what's that going to do? It's like this situation now we got going on where if you don't pay your child support, you're going to jail. Or we're going to take your driver's license. I'm sort of going, okay, the woman still suffers, doesn't she? because he's in jail.
Oh, yeah.
He can't pay. He has no driver's license, can't go to work now. So, I mean, it's kind of amazing how society has a tendency to shoot its own foot off in the process of trying to solve something when they should just go, okay, let's teach the woman how to live on her own, how to take care of herself, how to be self-sufficient. And then the guy will get jealous and want to come back. You know, something like that. I'm just saying there's so many solutions that not everybody's looking at, because I had a woman call me up one night and tell me about this guy who got her pregnant. Now, this also, I mean, it's a crazy situation itself, okay? But when I sit there and told her that he didn't get her pregnant, she goes, well, yeah, I did. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, your favorite position is on top, isn't it? And she goes, yes. I said, so how did he get you pregnant? She goes, I got to go. You know, so what happened was she didn't want to take the responsibility of the position she put herself into. No pun intended either. I'm saying that everybody has to learn one thing, is to take responsibility for their own actions and their own lives. When you sit there and do that, I'm pretty sure things will start changing. One more little example. We had a lady on the show who had a friend who was a realtor. And this is a thing that people kind of go, ah, about because of what she said. But the lady said that this guy called her up, wanted her to show him this house. So she did. He raped her, beat her up, beat her to the freaking point of they thought she was dead. Okay? Now later, a month later, after she'd gone through therapy and everything else, they asked her a question and said, hey, you know something? So I'm pretty sure you're mad at that person. And the whole situation is, you know, just basically they started on the guy and say, he raped you and all this kind of stuff. How do you feel? She goes, who do you think, you know, almost like saying, you know, it's his fault. And she said, no, it wasn't his fault. And everybody was like, what? And it wasn't his fault. And she goes, I'm not condemning him for his actions. But she said, the person's fault that I have to sit and look at is my own. Because she said, my guidance and angels were right there the whole time. And they told me, before I even went to the house, not to go. As I was walking up the sidewalk, they said, go, turn around, go away. They said, you don't want to do this. And she did anyway. So she put herself in a situation. And most people said, well, that was drastic, wasn't it? Yeah, but see, we have to look at the person's decision. The individual, she made the choice. And you can get mad all you want to about her choice and what she said. But she said she took 100% accountability for her life and said that was her fault. If she would have, she said, flat out, if she would have listened to her guidance, it would have never happened to her. She said, does that mean that I condone his actions? No, he deserves to get what he got. But I also have to sit there and take my responsibility for my decisions that put me in that situation. She said, if I would have sit there and listened to my guidance instead of letting money be my guide, I wouldn't have gotten what I had, what happened to me. So, see, what we're saying is, it's the consequences of our actions, even the worldly sense. And I believe in the Bible it says the same thing. We change our perceptions, we change the outcome. Will good and evil have their little day? Probably so. But does that mean the destruction of the world? I know it doesn't, because even the Bible says the earth and the heavens will be reborn, renewed. And so to me, that sure does. It sounds like a cleansing, doesn't it? But it doesn't sound like most people are talking about. And it's almost like some of these people are just like, I want this to happen. I don't know if they're ready to check out or what, but it makes you wonder. Anyway, I'm just saying that I was trying to get the point across. It's just the ideal responsibility. Okay, you take responsibility of your life. And actually with your pregnancy, everybody keeps saying it won't happen any earlier. To me, there are certain circumstances and certain things that you haven't done. And I think that in the process of actually continuing to keep walking, and for some reason I don't know if doctors say don't walk stairs, but I keep saying you should walk stairs.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I keep getting the thing about walking stairs could actually bring it up. And as we're sitting here talking, I don't think the doctor's going to introduce labor on the 9th.
No.
Because I think labor is going to be introduced on its own.
Okay. All right.
So, any questions?
No, that's all.
No, I'm sorry if I go on the whole thing, but it was just the ideal that what you're into and what you're getting yourself into, it's one of those things that you're going to experience a lot of things, but you're going to understand why, and I think you're going to make a difference on the system itself.
Well, yeah, it was a good conversation.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for calling.
All
really
because you
want
to know when you're going to give birth.
Yeah.
You're going to give birth to a lot of things, not just children, okay?
Okay. Well, right. Thank you, guys. Have a nice day.
You too.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye now.
Okay,
bye.
Bye. Let's see. Let's see. Okay. I was actually writing something. Mark left.
I was wondering about Mark.
Let's see here. I'm going to try to give this one lady a call, say call in. She said, sorry for, she was there talking to me and asked me a question. I was trying to get her to call in and just talk about it. We talk about everything else, right?
Yeah, but the kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just, you know, well, Mark's not in the chat room. Mark, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, he was so quiet. I thought he'd... Who knows?
No, it was just sometimes.
I guess we did. They didn't embalm you then.
No, I was giving you a space. I thought you muted me because you were taking the call up.
Oh, okay. No, I saw you in the chat, and then it says you have left the chat. So I was like, oh, okay. But
yeah,
my
browser froze, so I had to refresh it.
If I could just sit there and. Okay, if I could just split the screen, I could actually see both chat and. Then I could actually take care of both. But yeah, and everybody out there, we're going to sit here and give you audio and say, if you want to give a call in here, please do so. The number is 646-721-9031. If you look in the chat room, you will see the information. For private readings, just give me a call, 740-500-8863. Or call me through Skype at 740-601-9835. Or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Right now, we would appreciate any kind of donations you'd like to give. And if you do donate $25, we have a sponsor who will also give you a bottle of body wash from his website, which is called divinebodywash.com. Great products, spiritual and natural. So, and also people who donate $35 or more, he will give you a bottle of body wash and body mist. So check that out. Also, with the situation donations, you can donate anything you want. We're just saying that these are the people who sponsor the show, and these are the things that they're asking for, so therefore, that's what we do. We're trying to all work together to continue to keep giving the message out and hope everybody understands that when we start with our messages, it's just the ideal that spirit keeps flowing through. We just let it go. So kick it in, kick it in the gear. Also, got some great specials for April, so give us a call. We do group readings, we do parties, and for charity functions, we'll be glad to come and do your charity function at no charge. So give us a call, we'll show up. And actually right now we have this great technology called Skype where we can actually do one-on-one readings, we can do group readings, conference calls, and we can do parties. It's just simply you set up a laptop on your side, we'll set up on this side, you know, kick on the cam, the Skype, and we can be there and just have people sit down at the table. We can sit there and do readings and everything else for them, show the cards. I can do palm readings. I've done it before. It's kind of amazing. I've actually done the remote viewing thing on palm readings, too, as well. So give us a call. We got specials and great prices on everything. And usually for the group readings and the parties and that kind of stuff, they're usually $150 a flat fee. But for the month of April, it's only $77.77. And for all new customers who call while we're on the show, and during the month of April, you can actually get an additional 10% off on that price, too, as well. So give us a call, and we'll sit down and go over the technology with the Skype and everything else. Because I guarantee you, it doesn't matter what kind of format you're in, or what kind of budget, or what kind of financial situation is, we can do some business. So give us a call at 740-500-8863 at my private line, and we'll get you on other things. Or just go to the website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And what was I going to say? Also, sponsorship. If you like to sponsor the show and get your products and your services and you promote it on the show, become a sponsor. It's only a $40 fee per month, and you're in there. We take care of you, and we guarantee you we give you the best information, and we give you the best sponsorships you can get. We'll definitely get the message out for you, and you'll definitely get an increase in business. So give us a call. And, Dee, you also give readings, and you have some fantastic jewelry. So let them know about that, too, and how they can contact you.
Okay. For readings, contact me at 207-374-5072 or email me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. If you're, I do my readings for donations, and I take PayPal. So for an email reading, a suggested donation is $20. For an hour's worth of my time over the phone is a suggested donation of $60. Call me. We'll discuss what you're looking for. I'll get back to you then, 24 to 48 hours, and we'll take it from there. If you're interested in jewelry, my business name is Dreamweaver Designs, but email me for now at the Spirit Wind, the messenger email. My jewelry is made with stone beads such as amethyst, moss agate, freshwater pearls, different stones, turquoise and such. And also, I use stone pendants, or I use stone and silver pendants, and I use a lot of handmade hill tribe silver from the hill tribes in Thailand, which is absolutely beautiful. I do have some pieces that are already made up if you're interested in finding out more about those. So contact me, we'll talk about prices, and I'm going to be doing some chakra jewelry, so if you have an interest in that, let me know, and we'll see what you're looking for and go from there.
All right. So, Mark.
So, what I was asking earlier is about the connection that there is with healing or clearing that needs to do with present life relationships, that where we know it's time to move on or to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it's probably due to past life issues that we may not be seeing. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ouch.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of past life things going on, too, with people and their problems and situations.
Right.
Has anybody ever noticed that? There's a lot of people that are from Egypt. Okay.
Huh.
Okay, well, let's bring another caller on real quick, because actually someone in the queue actually said they were going to call in because they were having some problems with Keen, and they saw me on a random. And actually, if you guys, I guess you could sit and say that too. If you actually want to go through any kind of different avenues, you could also go to Keen. They call me Psychic X-Journey Man on there. Surprising, right? And then on a random, they had called me Psychic X Journey because a man wouldn't fit for their browser or something. So,
would you do that line?
Yeah, or random's live. Yeah, you sit there and you talk and you're actually on webcam.
No, I said what you could do with that line, just Psychic X, the man wouldn't fit.
Yeah, I tried it, and it was just, that's all I could put in there. So I said, okay, just leave that. So people call me X Journey anyway, so. And I thought it was interesting because I was sort of checking it out. And then Keen. A lot of people are talking about Keen Islam or Random Islam or just these other things they're not getting. And I said, well, if you keep feeding into those kind of statements, then it's probably going to continue to be that way. What I do is I go on a Random or I go on Keen, and I don't worry about anybody else. I've heard people, my friend used to say this, there's 20 people in there. I'm like, and your point is, what I do is like me and April was going over this visualization where we would sit there and imagine ourselves as the only person working on those companies. And everybody's coming to us, not because we're the only people working on the line, but we're the best. And people gravitate to us because we are the best at what we do. We give 100% to every person that comes to us. So what it's saying is the visualization is watching everybody else fade away. And then you're going to start realizing what you should be focusing on is what do you want? What do you want to do today? You want to do $50? You want to do $200 a day? Or maybe you want to focus on the calls. I want to do 20 readings today. And then focus on those things. All right? Let's go to a caller. Area code 724.
Okay.
Area code 724, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
That's a good. Yes, how are you?
I'm doing great, I believe.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Ah.
Pennsylvania. How many area codes does Pennsylvania have anyway?
Well, we've got lots.
I know, I saw that. So.
Simplify it. Move to Maine. There's only one.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah, we just have one. 207, that's it.
Isn't that
There's another state out there, too, it's either Nevada or Utah that only has one area code, too.
Oh, really?
New Hampshire only have one as well.
I thought it was kind of crazy because of the size of the state. I can understand Maine. Maine's, you know, but when you look at Nevada or Utah, those are huge states. That'd be
Maine's
crazy.
Maine's a tiny state for sure.
Yeah. So what's your name?
My name's Carol.
Kim?
Carol.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, guys. She said her name, a blip came through and went boop, and I was like, okay. It sounded like Kim.
Okay.
Sorry. So, Carol. Everybody calls in here going, okay, is it going to just be one question or is it going to be a 20-minute, you know, conversation? Anyway, so how can we help
What's
you
up?
Today?
I have a relationship question, and I want to know, how does it look? Are we going to be getting things straightened out, or what's going on here?
Okay, what's his name?
Dan. Well, I call him Danny, but yeah.
Okay.
Are you two not communicating so well at the moment?
Correct.
Now, my first impression is once you two really start to communicate better, you can turn things around.
Yeah,
but
Dan's
I get
that
there's some stubbornness on his part.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dan's the problem.
Yeah, he does not want to really, truly express what he's really feeling, what he's really thinking. Would I be correct in saying he's got a lot of resentment from something going on that has gone on?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do believe so.
He doesn't want to take any responsibility squarely on his shoulders. He wants to shove it off onto everybody else but himself.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, once he wakes up and realizes that most of what he's really resentment is because of things that he did more so than anybody else, that he has the bulk of the responsibility for it, that will make a huge difference. But you can't
just
throw it in his face. You have to kind of, you know, gently or whatever, get him around to seeing where, you know, what the real problem is. Because he doesn't want to see anything. He's got those blinders on, and he's going straight ahead, and you're the problem, and this is the problem, and everybody else is the problem. But I didn't do anything wrong. I'm perfectly fine.
He's
totally out to lunch. He needs to be, you know, a good, swift mental kick.
I know,
okay.
But I don't know how to do that. So.
I was going to say, see, I think you beat the guy up enough, don't you? You beat the
Pardon
guy up
me?
Enough. So, I said she's beat the guy up enough, so just trying to find a solution here.
Yeah.
Right.
So, God, I just imagine this guy got bruises all over him now.
They're emotional bruises. If you didn't hit him.
I know. You'd like to hit him
sometimes. I think he infuriates you and you just want to go, oh, for God's sake, smack.
Well,
you
know what? You're correct, but I don't.
No. No, you
no.
don't, because that's not your nature. He's just. Knows how to push all your buttons, and you're sitting there going, oh, God damn it, if I could only smack the fucking crap out of you.
Well, yeah,
and
I mean,
don't.
I just, it's like, you know what I have the problem of it? It's like I hold it in and hold it in, and then when I blow up, I really, you know.
No, that's not the healthy way.
Well, I know that. And listen,
yeah,
I'm
I know
not.
You know that. You're not, you know, no, you do know that. It's something that you're used to doing, and It's hard to break old habits, and it's hard to deal with somebody that just shuts down and says, nope, I'm not going to deal with this because I feel this way, and I'm justified in how I feel. I don't care how you or anybody else feels.
Right.
But it's too bad that he couldn't see an example of exactly how he is. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that, but sometimes you see. Sometimes people see things like this. Ah, here's this TV program, and look at this person. You know, how do you? You know, and they're acting just exactly the way he is, and he goes. And eventually, you know, maybe he gets it because somebody points out, aren't you acting like that, or something? You know, that gets his attention.
Right. Well, what do you think's going to happen here?
That's one or two things. Either he's going to smarten up or he's going to be history is the way I look at it.
Okay.
Because you can't go on forever with things the way they are.
That's right.
There's got to be communication. If he's not willing to communicate, if he's not going to see that there's a problem, how long can you stay in a relationship like that?
Right.
Realistically.
Well, like
there's
going to
come a point in which you're going to say, "Hey, enough's enough."
Well, we haven't talked for a while here, and that's why I'm trying to see what's going on here. You know, is he going to call, or you know, because I did throw him a text Friday.
I think he's stubborn. Call? No. You know, he expects at this point you're going to make all the moves and he's not going to have to do a thing because I'm pissy and everybody else is the problem but me. And I think he places a lot of it right squarely on your shoulders when it's not your problem. It's his problem.
Right.
You didn't do it. You didn't cause the resentment.
No, I didn't.
But he has to blame everybody but himself. And because you're the person he loves the most, hell, I'll take it out on her. Because that's what people do. They have this tendency to take it out on the ones they love.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Donnie's turn. Hello, Donnie.
How's your turn going? Okay.
Hey, I got to get something once in a while.
<I know. laughs>
Go for it.
I'm just saying, okay, we got the lowdown, we got the belly of the muscle thing going. We know the structure, what's going on. I was sitting here focusing and looking at the situation, going, okay, we can find a solution to the situation, but I keep getting it's not a physical move. It's actually the idea of intention. Okay, we know who he is. We know what he's all about. Okay, that's not the problem. It's what we want. And it's like
right.
You said.
I mean, I do love him. I do. I do love him. I do. I'm sorry, but I do.
Yeah. Okay,
no,
I understand that point.
No, you don't have to be sorry for loving him. There's a lot about him that's worth loving. It's just one glitch. And
yes,
I think he has a tendency to be like this, to shut down and blame everybody else for problems that he created.
Mm-hmm.
Or his perception.
That's true. But let's get past the point of pointing fingers, because realistically,
right,
we're falling into his realm, because that's what he does. Okay, what we want is a different outcome, and an outcome
right
could actually be beneficial for both of you, because he can actually show Dan that the reason he can't get past himself because he's the one standing in the way. Okay, what I was trying to say was when she was sitting talking, the thing that came to me the most was what I was looking at my journal in the process of a situation I was trying to turn around. And I got tired of walking and talking and working with this woman to the point where I said, okay, this bring in divine intervention. Okay, Dan is who he is. But Dan is like a piece of clay, okay? He can be, it's like one of those things, he can change. It's just that we, with any kind of interactions or speaking our minds, we need to do more of that, of course. But it's also the way of being tactful. A lot of us have a tendency to get into situations like this, and we get angry. So we have a tendency to break into arguments. And then no one actually listens to each other, so nothing ever happens.
Correct.
So, except for creating more blocks that pushes away. Now, this is what I look at. This is what I look at the situation. You are who you are.
Right.
And Dan is the way he is. Now,
right,
Dan is not seeing you for who you are. And the reason Dan can't see you for who you are and the reflection that you're giving is because he can't see himself. He's so caught up in his resentment and anger and that kind of stuff. And sure, he wants her to do the whole thing because he doesn't want to do anything, because there's also within him a lack of confidence that he can actually even have a productive relationship because of where he's been.
Okay.
So when you look at the situation, you go, okay, what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
I would sit down and start writing in my journal and start writing exactly what I want, even to the point of saying, I want Dan to show up in a week or whatever you feel comfortable with. But the one thing I did see that I've been hearing this a lot for the last 2 weeks is women and guys and problems and saying, what can I do? Well, the only thing you can do is to learn from the reflection yourself. What does Dan reflect back about you? And work on yourself. See, when we talk about heart connections are connections that you can work with, but they only work if you work on yourself. Now work on him. You know, I hate to say this, but I want women to do one thing. Stop finding fixer-uppers. You can buy a brand new one. You know, you don't have to go find something that you got to fix up, you got to hurt, and you got to, and then the pain. You know, when you do that, what you do is you become a therapist or a psychotherapist.
Right.
A psychotherapist. You don't want to be those. You want to be a girlfriend or wife. Whatever your goal is, that's the thing you want to be. You don't want to be a therapist. And people say, well, we take on many roles within a relationship. Yes, we do. But we also work together.
Right.
Not the other one. Not the one sitting there writing on the pencil and paper while the other one sits on the couch. No, we're working
Correct.
Together. That's why we have outside sources we can go to so we can actually work on it together. We can find a medium, a person who's medium, you know, like a medium or a person who's in the middle who can actually dictate this whole thing so we can actually concentrate and focus on not just each other but focus on ourselves. And in the process of this situation of working with Dan, you've extended yourself to the point where you need to give that back to yourself. The solution here is the idea of working on yourself and asking yourself, yes, you love him, but that's normal. You're a loving, nurturing, caring person. You probably love everybody you've ever been with. And that's normal because that's who you are. Okay, that's for people out there saying, why do I still love my ex-husband or my ex-boyfriend? Because you're a loving, caring person. That's who you are. That's the nature of who you are. That's the essence. So when you sit and look at those things and say, okay, then that's not an excuse to stay with somebody. That's just a statement about me.
Right.
That proves that I am who I am. So therefore, when we look at the situation ourselves and say, okay, what is Dan not seeing? That loving, caring person that he can be through you. So how are we going to get him to see that? Well, we can't. All we can do is continue to keep working on ourselves and say, okay, Dan has made me step out of the box of certain things I need to look at myself. So you look at those things, and I get the impression that you will definitely get a difference here, okay? And you'll see something different out of him. If you don't, then look at it for what it is and say, okay, I guess this was just never really meant to go the distance. And now I see him for who he is. He's not the person I'm supposed to be with. And what I mean by that is that a lot of women have a tendency to connect with somebody, they love them, and then they try to take that imperfect mold and pound it into their mold instead of going out and finding the person they're supposed to be with. So try to make it easier. So if you sit and look at the situation, it's not the idea of being mean to anybody here. It's just a place to sit back and look at, okay? And say, okay, am I trying to do that with Dan? Is Dan capable of giving me what I want, need, and desire? If he's not, just be honest with yourself. That is, because I think what the problem is here too, since you love him and care about him, you don't want to come off like people would see you as being a mean person. But being stern and being strong is not mean. It's putting it out there and say, okay, Dan, you know, this ain't working. And you haven't talked in a while. Do I feel like you're going to communicate with each other? Yes, I do. I think there's going to be communication with the two of you. But I'm just saying, it's the idea of sitting back and looking at the idea of working on yourself and re-examine your wants, needs, and desires and ask yourself, can Dan actually really do that? There's nothing wrong with saying, I don't think he can. And that's just, just realizing Dan is Dan. And you are you. Because a lot of people sit here and say, this guy is supposed to do this, this, and this, and this. No, he's not. He's supposed to be who he is. And he gives what he can. So,
that's right.
You know, yes, and if you love, and it's like sometimes in the process of loving somebody, you got to let him go and realize he's destined for somebody else, and so are you.
Okay.
So you see, I'm trying, like I said before, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to find a place to start and get the solution here. You know, it's great to know somebody, but it's also in the process of knowing that person, of asking yourself where you see yourself 5 years from now. You know, if it's going to be the same thing, because I feel like it's also been an off and on thing too. Anyway, I need some green tea on that one. Anyway,
I'm not laughing at you, honey. I'm listening.
Well, it was funny.
But I'm just saying with the situation. I keep losing my voice. You know, But I've been doing seven times. Right now I'm doing, actually, we do seven shows a week and two extra shows at night. So maybe it's not unusual for me to lose my voice. I just got to come up with some preparation. But I'm actually drinking green tea and honey.
Where's the lemon?
Yeah. I'm just saying with the situation, don't feel like you've failed or you haven't accomplished your goal. Sometimes it's just the idea of looking at the person and saying, well, Dan is Dan, and he's going to be that way. He's going to change because he wants to change. He's going to change because he sees the realizations himself. I'm sorry he can't see you for the person you are, but, you know, until he sees himself, the reflection scares him. So he has a tendency to distance himself from it. So you look at the situation, yeah, feelings are mutual here. That's a proven point because let's put it this way. If Dan didn't really care about you or have feelings like, you know, like we know he does, he'd be hanging out with you all the time. He wouldn't care one way or the other. So that's, you know, so if everybody's looking for confirmations or looking for a sign that someone loves you, if you're having problems and they're trying to keep away from you and the emotional thing is getting in the way, then they definitely do love you. They definitely care about you. There's just something within that person that's not allowing them to do that. But it's also the idea for you to realize one thing, too. On your list, it says, I want somebody who wants me as much as I want them. So you look at that one thing. You look at that one thing on your list, and you go, Dan ain't doing it. So I have to sit there and think about it. And go, okay, that's one thing on my list he doesn't hit. Because right now I want it now, and you do want it now. So it's just re-examine your list and going, okay, maybe I didn't look at the last five because I was good with the first. And now I'm starting to realize that the 10 are important to me. And the idea that importance is also to find a person who would also find those qualities within you as important as you do.
Okay.
So when you sit there and look at that and go, I'm sorry, so you go ahead. What do you think?
You know, you are right. It's difficult for me with the no talk and, you know, with us just, I have a really difficult time with that. I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. I want to get, you know, I need to get an idea of what in the heck, you know. It's hard. When you spend years together, it's difficult. You know, it's not like you spent a week together, you know.
No, I understand, but I'm just saying, you have to look at it as a relationship, not a job. Just because you put 5 years in, you know, a lot of people do the same thing with jobs. They'll sit and go, I've been here for 10 years. It doesn't matter if that guy's beating the hell out of them or get knocked around and all kinds. No, I'm not saying, I'm saying it with a job. When I say getting the hell beat out of you, I mean it's the idea of taking abuse and punishment. And they'll stay on that job because they've been there for 10 years, and they look at it as a security. They look at it as comfort, and it's kind of hard to let go because we do have a tendency to establish connections with things, people, and just all kinds of things.
Right.
And this is the part we talk about detaching, is you have to detach yourself from the situation, and we can sit and say, well, I'm not attached to this. Well, if you're sitting there looking at the years that you've been together, you're looking for reasons to stay together instead of looking at the real true decision that has to be made. And that's what I'm saying. It's the idea of looking at the situation and saying, I think it's sometimes one of these situations is when you walk away, that's when you find out if it's true or not.
Okay.
When we hang on to it, we're so closely attached to it. The way I look at it, it's like looking at somebody having their arms and legs wrapped around again. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the process of having your arms and legs wrapped around you, you can't see his face. You can't see a lot of things. So we have to step back and see the picture and see what's really going on, that he's sitting there saying, I like lemons. But now we get to see his face, and we know for a fact he doesn't. You see, now we get the full picture of what's going on and say, okay, what happened? Nothing happened. Everything, more than likely, went along just like it was supposed to. It's just the idea of two people discovering maybe they do need to go two different directions. But the thing I see the most here is the idea of detachment from this situation. It seems like it's the first thing you need to do, to look at it and say, okay. And I understand it, too. I was with somebody for 3 years. It wasn't until she called me back after being separated for 3 years I realized that why it happened the way it did was because she was living in the past. Okay? And realistic, if you look at the situation right now, the reason you and Dan can't have a future together, because he's so damn wrapped up in the past. He can't let go of the baggage. You know, people can't sit there and think about it. They don't understand. You have baggage. You have even memories. I've actually worked with couples and said, this is what you need to do with your exes. I don't care if you had great memories. They all attach you to the past, good or bad. When you say you want to be with somebody, you got to let go of all. And Dan is just not willing to let go of the past. He's not willing to let go of his life. He likes the way things are. And and I think the biggest problem he has is he keeps clashing with things. Is he knows for a fact that he commits you 100%, and his life's going to change. And he's going to have to give up his life. Now, he's another person I keep telling everybody, why do we always focus on the lack and limitations when we should be focusing on what we're going to gain? But I feel like, realistically, with the two of you guys being together, you guys have gained so much with your just knowing, getting to know yourselves, that he just hasn't taken notice of that. And that's the thing that can be so sad, to actually have all those experiences with each other and to go through those things, to let go. But it's also to realize that it was a growing period in your life. It could be actually setting you up for that person that you're supposed to be with, so there you won't have this kind of problem or situation where you can be straight up in your face saying, I'm going to do it nice and tactful, but you're an ass. You know, and understand that when we say communication, good or bad, communication has to happen. And we have to talk about these things, and we have to confront it. And when we feel things, we have to express those things. Dan has a tendency to go within himself, and, you know, it's like a lot of times when I see visions with people where he needs to test the core of who he is. If you see a man, it's like watching somebody in the water, in deep water, as they're going to the bottom, they touch the bottom, but they're scared to put their feet completely on the bottom. That's the core of what he needs to do. But if you really look at the situation, too, when I say learn from the reflection, so do you. You need to sit and touch the core of who you are again. And this would definitely help you decide in what direction you need to go in. I really feel like that's going to, I feel like it's very important. You touch the core of who you are, you're going to realize your wants and needs and desires have changed a little bit. And it might actually make it easier for you to let go and realize in what direction you need to go into. Because the way it sets for me right now, it's still a decision. It's still an option, which one you want to do. But I feel like the key of the whole thing is you touching your core. And that's the reason I feel this way. See, the reason I always stress with people to be yourselves, because the more you be yourself, and the more, no matter what is going on around you, no matter what your environment is, the more you focus on being who you are, so would that person who's across from you. But this will also prove to you the connection that you really have, because the work you do on yourself will reflect, and also he'll feel it, and he'll be able to be himself too, and he'll open up to you. And if he doesn't, that means it's like I said before, the signs are everywhere. If he can't do it with you working on yourself and you being your total self and finding more things about yourself, then he's just not going to do it right now. So therefore, it's another sign that tells you, and I've done the work. I'm ready. So if you're ready, detach yourself from the situation, and I guarantee you, you'll be in a relationship.
Okay.
All righty?
Yeah. All right, I got a lot of work to do on me, and hopefully I will hear from him sometime. I don't know.
Yeah, and I would also suggest that if you get a chance, the time and the money to sit down, I would love to work with you.
Okay.
Because it's one of those things. My thing is relationships, and not the idea of knocking them apart, but actually trying to be able to keep them together, and if it doesn't work together, to make it a nice smooth transition, to realize that we can do these things in a nice loving way too. People always get this image in their head that people break up for one reason, because it fell apart and they don't like each other anymore. When actually, what the truth is, they don't like each other. They don't like themselves. So that's why they break up, because they don't like the reflection. It keeps reflecting back to them the things they're going to have to do, things they got to change, things about themselves they don't like. They don't realize it. The reflections are good. They're helping you to learn more about yourself. The more you learn about yourself, the more you learn from the reflections, the closer in the bond of a relationship. That's just the way it goes. And it's amazing when I have people come over going, I don't see you guys getting back together. Why? We still love each other. I said, then love each other and move on. Okay?
Right.
Understand that if it's like You know for a fact, like attracts like. So if you know if you're destined for somebody else, so is he.
Sure.
So, you know, yeah, so, you know, just take a deep breath and realistically, I mean, people go, okay, seriously, the reason I get kind of skittish on these things, I've actually been told, I don't want to hear this bullshit. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
You know? And then this lady just said to her, she looked at me, she's like, I said, I started telling her, you need to do some chakra clearings, get rid of negativity, do some cleansing, and do some cleansings and meditations, and just really focus on releasing all this stuff. And she goes, I don't want to hear this bullshit. I want to find a man. I'm like, She goes, am I going to find anybody? I said, probably not. She's like, what? I said, well, listen to your attitude. And then she hangs up on me. So I was like, okay. But, you know, it's like looking at people. We had a lady on the show there last week who said, I was trying to tell her that she's in a situation that her friends, she's renting a house off her friends. Her friends are having financial problems. So she jumps on the bandwagon and goes, well, if they lose the house, where am I going to go? Well, see, what was so funny about it was she was feeding into fear because none of this stuff was really happening except for her friends were having financial problems. And I was sitting there saying, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we take some divine intervention and intervene in the situation so that her financial situation gets better so it won't affect you? And she goes, well, I guess you really don't have any answers, do you guys? And I'm, thank you. And she left. I'm like, okay. But
that's crazy. Because you'd
divine
want
intervention,
your friends to get better.
But I've never seen divine intervention never work. I've always seen it work. It might not give you. It might not sit there. You know, we like what one guy says, God answers prayers, but maybe not in the way you wanted it to come out with. But I guarantee it was in your best interest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
so I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm talking from experience. I mean, I've been through a lot of things. I mean, like with your situation, mine was more substance abuse than anything else. But you know, the whole thing was that I started realizing that instead of treating her like a child, I should have treated her like an adult that she was. And maybe she would have responded a little different. Like when she hit me, you know, adult, she called the cops because it was amazing. every time she would hit me, if I defended myself, the first thing she said, I'm going to call the cops. I'm like, okay, hold up.
You're hitting me?
Yeah, you're hitting me. And I was like, you grabbed me by the hair of my head. You beat the heck out of me. And I looked her right in the face and I said, your mom said that when you did that, I was going to beat you up, didn't she? And she goes, yeah. I said, what do you think now? I'm in full control, and you're not. So what's up? I think you need some help. So I sit and said, I told her son, I said, go get the cop. I'm going to go get the phone, we'll call the cops. And she goes, so you're going to throw me in jail and have my kids thrown in child services? I said, no, but you're going to jail. Me and the kids are going to Chuck E. Cheese. You know?
Oh, gosh.
You know, so, and she's like, what? I said, no, I love your kids like they're my own. I always have. So, therefore, I'm being true to myself. And I say, I love you. I care about you. But you got a problem. You know, and it was, and what happened was I didn't follow through. I kind of said, no, okay, just don't do this. I don't want to do anything. But I realized one thing. That was the course of action. You know, it was to teach somebody that, yes, you do have a problem. And maybe the idea of sitting in jail, maybe it gave her some time to do that. It never really did afterwards, but I think if we would have done it when we really was guided to do so. So we look at the situation, the guidance is always talking to us. And it's just that we're going to listen and do it, or we're going to sit there and say, no, I don't want to do this. And then we have a difference in opinions and stuff. But, well,
hoping that, you know, in my situation, I hope that we can work things out. If we don't, then, you know, there's got to, you know, my life will go on, I'm sure. And so will his. I'm going to miss him a lot, though, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I already do miss him a lot.
Well, that's what I did yesterday. I had my girlfriend told me that she really loves me because I love her. And she kind of makes it, sometimes she says things where, you know, if I didn't have you in my life, I wouldn't know what I would do. And I looked her right in the face. I said, sweetie, you got to understand one thing. You're amazing. You're great. You're awesome. You're gifted and talented. And you will always be that way, with or without me.
Right.
So, you know, people are like, you actually said that to her? Yes, because it's the truth. and she has to understand that she is who she is. So, and I just bring that out of her. But the reason I can bring that out of her is because it exists. It's there. It was just, she just needed the calmness to realize who she really is, and she's coming into her own. If not, you know, the same thing, you know, goes back and forth when you have those kind of relationships. And you can be that comfortable and saying those things to each other. Then you got something good. But even the situation, if you don't, doesn't mean you can't walk away being great friends. It's just the ideal of understanding and realizing just that. Guys, I got to get out of here. I got to go because I got to go look at some office space for a shop I'm trying to put together. And I got to be there
okay.
too. I'm at the mercy of the buses right now. So.
Good. But, and I hope all goes well for you.
Yes. And I, like I said before, I extended the offer out to you. So I was like, I don't care what your budget is. I don't care what's going on in your life. I know we can sit there and work out an arrangement and work together and make a difference. And maybe we can actually get to this point where we can get Dan. And we can save this whole situation. I'm not saying we can't. I feel like there's still choices and still direction here. So I'm just saying, I'd love to sit down and figure out which way we can go with this whole thing and make it happen. I had this one guy I worked with for 9 months, and he was a really hard problem, too. And seriously, she was living with another woman at the time. I got him back together. We worked with, we got good techniques and stuff, got him to back off on his aggressiveness of buying her stuff, and they got married.
Well,
so,
that's one.
Yeah, so
that's
I'm
great.
Yeah, so you know that's my thing is I can, if we can we pick one direction to go into, and I sit there and work until we can actually get that and accomplish that goal. That's the whole point, right?
Right.
So if that's
okay.
what you want, let's see what happens. Okay. So I think. Go ahead, sweetie. I'm sorry.
That's good. That's all right. I'm going to let you go. I want you to go get your and get the office space. And, you know, your throat's a mess. You got to get on it.
Yes. But thank you for calling. And please, you know, just keep in consideration what I said, but definitely check back with us and give us updates and keep in touch with us, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, and have a beautiful day.
You too. Thank you. You have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye now. No, I do. We're out of here. You have a nice day, and keep slugging in there, and don't worry about you jumping in there and cutting me off. Tell you the truth, that's what I want. I want your opinion. I want you to see, tell me how you feel, okay? D? D. Well, we'll see you guys later. You guys have a great night, and we're out of here. And we'll leave you with a nice little Kansas tune called Child of Innocence.
Cast in the web of an angel.